Well, as I said, welcome everyone. I'm so glad that you're here. Got through the holidays. My first youth group experience when I was hired as a pastor was in Columbus, Ohio, probably about 20 years ago now. And my very first sermon I did in youth ministry was from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 7. And I'd like to start off today with that, reading that proverb to you. It was the first time they had me preach, and I got up and I preached this message. And I just want to read to you Proverbs 7 to start us off. But let me go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, as we look to 2018, I pray that this would be a year of growth for all of us. This would be a year of just newness and second chances and grace and mercy. And so, Lord, I pray today as I share your wisdom and your goodness and your spirit will encourage us for what lies ahead. We look to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 7 says, "My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, 'You are my sister,' and call understanding your kinsman. They will keep you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words." Verse 6, "At the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice. I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who lacked judgment. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house. At twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in, then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She is loud and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner, she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him with a brazen face." And I'll skip some of these little more saucy parts because we have some younger kids in here. But basically, verse 21, "She lures him in with persuasive words. She led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare." And bam! Could you just imagine an arrow? I woke some of you up, didn't I? I did that 20 years ago, the teens, and they all jump. Think about this picture. This young, simple man walking down, lured in by this woman. Then all of a sudden, as he gets lured in too far, it's too late, an arrow sticks into his back. And could you imagine the pain of that, the thought of that, of having an arrow stuck into you? And all at once, it's over. And then it says, little knowing, it'll cost him his life. The book of Proverbs is a vivid book that wants to get us attention, our attention. It wants to wake us up. And I really do believe for 2018, God really does want to wake us up. And so, as I did this sermon so many years ago, there's so many of us, it's so easy for us to get off the rails, to get off the guardrails. And what I think God wants to really share with us today and for 2018 is that what are we doing in our lives to protect ourselves from going off the path that he has for us? And so one thing is the Bible talks about there's two paths. There's a path of the Lord and there's a path of the wicked and folly. And we need to be careful this year in 2018 of what we're going to do and how are we following our life. And so I want to encourage you today that we want to learn God's wisdom for what lies ahead for us in 2018. But I have a question for you. What guardrail system do you have in place in your life? Guardrail systems are used to protect you, to keep you from going off the road. But what do you have right now in your life? And one of the reasons why I'm so excited that you came here today is that we are each other's guardrails. Being in small group, being in relationship and prayer and the scriptures, they keep us following after God. It's so easy, though, to be taken off the beaten track. So I just heard a recent study. At first, when you first read this, you might think it's weird too, but there's been some research lately that says that the average adult makes about 35,000 remotely conscious decisions per day. Now, doesn't that seem high to you? But the more I did some study, and really, if you think about it, it actually is quite almost true. Think about the minute you woke up this morning, you instantly were like, do I stay in bed or I hit the snooze button? Do I get dressed first or do I go to the bathroom? Right there you already made a couple, and then dressing. You know, they say the average woman sometimes can make up to 200 individual decisions before she gets dressed. I kid you, it's a study, not me. But think about in food, but think about it, even if it was only 10,000 or 5,000, think of all the decisions you make on a daily basis. It's quite staggering. And here's the question. With all these decisions we're making all the time, what is influencing your decisions? And so for 2018, I think for all of us, I want God's word, I want God's wisdom, I want God's spirit to help me make all these decisions. But it's so easy to have other systems do that. A lot of us have the culture, our own ideas, but it's something we want to think about for 2018. What is influencing all those decisions that we're making? And so I want to talk to you today about the book of Proverbs. I want to do a couple of weeks sermon series on the book of Proverbs. One thing I think we all need, and I need especially, is God's wisdom for navigating this life. Life is challenging. We've got a lot of adventures ahead for all of us in our family and our friends and relationships with money. And I thought, what's one way for us to start off this year but through God's word and God's wisdom? So I wanted to get you excited today and get you into the book of Proverbs. It's something to think about God's wisdom. So first off, it's 2018, and I really do think that we're going to need wisdom to go into this new year. And so here's a question for you to start you off for the new year. In what area of life do you most need to grow in wisdom? Just take a moment to think about that. If you want, you might even want to write that down. What is one thing right now you think you might need more than anything else in the coming year? I think for a lot of you, you might put down relationships. A lot of you might put down money. A lot of you might put down other things with job and work and direction. But I would have to guess what most of you put down is actually talked about in the book of Proverbs. And so I have a challenge for you today that over the next month or so, would you be willing to look into God's word, into God's wisdom? And I believe the book of Proverbs and the whole Bible can really help you in some areas that you're working with. But a lot of you have, you might have some major health issues coming up. Some of you have some relationship issues coming up. The book of Proverbs and God's wisdom could help you navigate that through. Is the sound okay, or does it seem kind of low today? Is it just me? Just me? Okay, so this noise in my head is just me? Okay, good. So it's just me. Let's all watch people coming in late. That's why we put those up there, so people we can't see who's coming in late. Unless you recognize their shoes, and then you know. Then you know. Well, anyway, a lot of times when we get into the book of Proverbs, what I really want to do today is I think for a lot of us, we misunderstand, and we don't get the full amount of Proverbs. A lot of us, we want all the exciting stuff in the New Testament and stuff, and I want that as well. But the book of Proverbs has more to offer than I think a lot of us think about it. But I always like to contrast Proverbs and Psalms, because the book of Psalms are filled with expressions of emotion, of pain and joy. They show us how to process our experiences before God. But the book of Proverbs calls us to study, to think, to learn about the practical disciplines of life. Psalms is about how to throw ourselves fully upon God in faith through anger, through praise, through thanksgiving. The book of Proverbs, though, is about how to having a trusting relationship with God and how we should work things out. But Proverbs takes a little bit more time and effort than the book of Psalms. And so if the Bible was a medicine cabinet, and that's not a weird thing to say, but if the Bible was a medical, I'm having a hard time today. So all that coffee's kicking in. If the Bible was a medicine cabinet, the book of Psalms would be like hydrocortisone cream. The book of Psalms is like I've been having some problems lately not to gross you out in my armpits, and so if I put aren't you glad you heard that right now? You're like, Jeff, what's the one takeaway today? Jeff's having some problems with his armpits. What a way to start the year off. But when I put a little bit of hydrocortisone cream in, it helps to soothe that. And so the book of Psalms is the same way. As we're crying out to God, as we're wrestling through joy and pain and praise, the book of Psalms can bring some healing balm to us. But the book of Proverbs is more like smelling salt. It's meant to wake us up. It's meant to slap us a bit. So today I want to get you into God's word in the book of Proverbs in a way that Proverbs really wants to warn you. It wants to wake you up and think about some things, but it takes some work. So look at this. Now, there's different ways. One of the things about the book of Proverbs, I didn't even get one laugh from that, huh? Okay. Anyway, there's many different ways to cut pizza, but that he's usually probably using the wrong tool for that. Using a wood saw for pizza can work, but the problem with it is it's probably going to cut the table and get some sawdust in the pizza. But the point is most people use the book of Proverbs, I think, not correctly. And so today my goal is to get you into the word, into the Proverbs in a way that it was meant to be used. And so one thing that's always helped me was the analogy of dental work. Proverbs are skills at living a godly life, not gospel promises. So basically wisdom says, not godly wisdom, but just regular wisdom, if you floss, by the way, who flosses here on a daily basis? Look at that, only less than half. All right, it was dentist time now. But basically, If you floss and brush on a regular basis for your life, what's usually going to happen? You're going to have healthy teeth, right? But many of us know people who have taken really good care of their teeth, and yet they still get gum disease. They still have a problem with their teeth. Others of us know people who don't floss at all, who have horrible breath, but their teeth don't get that bad. The point is, wisdom says, all being else being equal, if you take care of your teeth, do them properly, you will have a healthy. But the problem is, it's not always a promise. Still, people can have gum disease. The book of Proverbs is similar to that. They are skills at living a godly life, but they are not gospel promises. Let me give you an example. Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. You've heard this scripture? This is a great scripture, but think about it from the book of Proverbs. If I say tomorrow, I want to move to France in a week, I commit that to the Lord, will my plan succeed? Well, some of you might say yes, but what I have understanding in Proverbs is that the general wisdom says, if I commit my life to the Lord, if I commit to Him and my plans, they will succeed. But this is not a gospel promise. This is just saying, if you do that, and so the book of Proverbs makes you work at it. What's it mean to commit to the Lord? What's it mean to commit to the Lord your plans? There's another scripture that says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You know that scripture? Some people could take that as, so if I just delight myself in Him, then He will give me all my desires. But what He's really saying is, if I am worshiping Him and delighting in Him, He will then put desires in my heart that He will fulfill. See the difference? So the book of Proverbs makes you have to kind of work your way through that. So again, this scripture by itself is encouraging, but we could take it too far. Let me give you another example. This is a different way of saying it. Same in the book of Proverbs. It says this. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. This is another way the scripture is saying is, we can make plans, we can seek the Lord, but ultimately, it is God who will establish our steps. So what we learn about the book of Proverbs is, Proverbs are not legal guarantees from God. I'm not trying to bash the Proverbs today. I'm actually trying to encourage you that wisdom used properly is a very freeing and encouraging thing. But Proverbs in and of themselves are not legal guarantees from God. Let me give you another example. This is another one. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. How many Christian parents, especially homeschooler parents, have seen this scripture and yet their child is not following the Lord, have looked at this and said, what have I done wrong, right? What's this saying? First off, as I did some studying in this in the book of Proverbs, this is a very complicated in Hebrew. It actually says, speak in the beginning to child, and then the child will go that way. And what this is basically saying is, if you train up a child, and of course it's implied the way of Yahweh, if you train up a child, that child will continue to do that when they get older, but it's not a promise. And it doesn't even matter. I know some godly parents who've done an amazing job with their children, and their children still go off and do crazy stuff. I've also known some parents who have done a horrible job with their children, and their kids are some of the most godliest Mother Teresa kids you've ever met. How does that work? The point is, this is still a good proverb. This is good, really good encouragement. But what's it saying is this: if you train your children and love them in a generalization, they will follow the Lord the rest of their life, but it's not a promise. Why is this important? As we learn wisdom, it teaches us to do these things, but knowing that there's more to life than the way these are. So again, it's a proverb, not a promise. So the reason I bring this up today is I think more of you would get more out of Proverbs, biblical Proverbs, if we would learn to know how God intended them to be. See, because biblical Proverbs are observations about how life actually works. The point of a proverb is to get rightly related to reality through hard thinking and sustained reflection. Now, proverbs aren't just taken by themselves. They're taken with the rest of scriptures. But when you're in the book of Proverbs, it's something that you want to have to work through. But a proverb is not a promise. I hope that helps you. It's helped me a lot when I've worked through this. Second thing, proverbs are meant to be memorable, not to be theoretically accurate. I have a picture of apple cider vinegar. Has anyone here ever drank apple cider vinegar? I've been trying to lose some weight and take care of myself, and I just had some last night, and I almost threw up. So what I do is I have one glass of it and then the second shot glass of like orange juice or apple juice, and I'll put it in my mouth. So many proverbs talk about when you do this or this with a fool, it's like drinking vinegar. And boy, I know what that means now. The book of Proverbs is meant to wake you up and to shock you a bit. So let me give you an example. Proverbs 26, 18 to 19. Like a maniac or a madman shooting flaming arrows of death. I love that saying, flaming arrows of death. Why doesn't somebody have this on their bumper sticker? Like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbor and says, I was only joking. Ouch. But this what's this proverb saying? It wants to be vivid, saying just like a maniac coming in here right now and starting to shoot arrows of death at each one of you is someone who comes in and says stuff like, hey, nice outfit. Oh, I was only joking. It can have the same effect. Now, we can take this proverb too far where I think it's okay to use humor and stuff, but what's this proverb saying is that we need to be careful how we do joke and how we affect different people. Proverbs are meant to wake us up and to shock us. And I think one of the things that God wants us to do is to get into his word, get into wisdom this year. For a lot of us, including myself, we need wisdom to live this life. So what a proverb is kind of like a Jolly Rancher hard candy. If you just bite down on it, you might get a little bit out of it, and you may even break one of your teeth. When I was a little kid, I always wanted to rush through there was a Jolly Rancher factory by my house when I lived in Colorado. But I always wanted to bite them and chew them down really fast. But a Jolly Rancher hard candy is meant to be savored, and same with proverbs. They're not meant to be read really quick and then move on. They're meant to be, in a sense, sucked on for a while. Spend some time meditating on them, and as you do that, you'll start to get some of the sweetness of it. And so Proverbs take a little bit of time. Let me show you another one. Proverbs 26, 11. As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. I mean, how many Sunday mornings can you go to church and have someone talk about vomit and dog all in the same? I mean, does it get any better than this? I submit to you that it does not. But as you think about this proverb, think about it for a minute. I don't know about you, but do you know one thing I do is guess who the fools are? The fools are everybody else. Have you done, you know what I'm talking about? When I read about fools, it's like, oh, it's you. It's you guys are the fools. It's not me, right? But what we forget is a lot of times I'm the fool. So then you stop as you read this really quickly. As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. As you take it like that Jolly Rancher candy, do you ever stop and say, wait a second, I'm returning to my folly once in a while. This scripture could actually be talking about me. And so as we read these things, the book of Proverbs meant to wake us up a bit. Let's keep going. As we savor these proverbs this year, I think God is really going to open up some different ways of looking at life. Proverbs are meant to be memorable. Let me give you another one. Look before you leap. One of the reasons why proverbs are so short and pithy is they need to be more memorable. Look before you leap sounds a lot cooler than this. Do you like what's this better? Look before you leap or this. In advance of committing yourself to a course of action, consider your circumstances and options. What's cooler? Look before you leap. The Proverbs are done the same way. God is trying to get our attention. He's trying to get us thinking about things. He's trying to wake us up on things that are really important. Here's one now that becomes a little more serious. Proverbs 6, 27 to 29, it says this. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Answer, no. Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? No. So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. Jeff, why are you reading this scripture today? Because the book of Proverbs says it wants to wake you up in warning. How many people, we've seen this, they sit there quick fantasize, what if, what if, what if? The book of Proverbs says to the son, the proverbial son, to Israel, to everybody, if you play with fire, you will get burned. So why these wisdom proverbs are so important is if you catch yourself someday thinking, well, I could go down this course of action, this and this, the Bible says no. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without being burned? No. Anyone, listen to what it says, no one who touches her will go unpunished. So the book of Proverbs is meant on the guardrails to keep us in line. And so as I've read these before, they stop and they say, you know what? I don't want to go down this road because I don't want to get burned. I don't want to go. I don't want to be punished. So the book of Proverbs is a way to wake up call. So I want to commend you as we go into 2018. Would you allow God's word to challenge you? Like the candy, though, we have to kind of sometimes take the time and take a little bit of work. So the question we want to ask, is this wisdom or folly? The decisions you're getting ready to make to do this or that, is it wisdom or is it folly? What the book of Proverbs shows you is that many things that we think are wise are actually folly, and our job is to see what that is. So let me give you some encouraging ways of getting through this. First off, though, reading a proverb takes only a few seconds, but applying a proverb can take a lifetime. I've learned this, but let me tell you one that I really struggle with, being vulnerable with, is Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. This sounds kind of simple, doesn't it? But the more I think about it, I don't know about you, but when I get really nervous, I start talking a lot. And as you know, I can talk fast. And I cannot tell you how many times, if I just would have kept my mouth shut, how life would have been different. And so this scripture alone is one that I've worked with my whole life. When words are many, sin is not absent. Now, again, with Proverbs, it's a memorable thing. You can talk a lot. You maybe could be a, you know, how about, you know, those, be a, what do you call it, an auctioneer. They're not sinning. And a lot of you talk a lot. But the point of it is, on a general basis, if you're talking a lot, there's a good possibility you're probably saying some things that are not correct. The message says, much talk, less truth. I thought, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? But again, what this does is it's something that it's been kind of one of my life verses of Proverbs 10:19, is to say, Lord, I want to slow down and not talk so much, because when words are many, sin is not absent. Also, Proverbs are puzzles. And I know this for a lot of this is tough, but Proverbs take a little bit of work. Let me give you an example of a Proverbs as puzzle. This is an interesting one, Proverbs 26:4-5. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. Many people who are against the Bible jump on this as a contradiction. But what I see what this really says is that Proverbs are situational, and they don't work for all the same things. So there are some times when you should not answer a fool, but there are other times when you need to answer a fool, and only wisdom can help you. So why the book of Proverbs are important is you need to read all the Proverbs in the book of Proverbs and how they all fit together. And this is a great example of two Proverbs that go together. There's sometimes you need to confront, other times you need to not, and it takes wisdom to know the difference. So Proverbs give up their meaning cumulatively. No one saying gives you the whole picture. So what we want to do in our sermon series, if we want to learn about relationships or learn about money or learn about different things, we don't just want to do one proverb. We want to see all the proverbs have to do with money and also how those relate to the rest of the scriptures. I hope this is helpful today, but I think for a lot of you, going to the book of Proverbs doesn't always seem as exciting as being in the book of Revelation or the book of Deuteronomy. Is it exciting reading through the book of Deuteronomy? It is for me. As I said that, you're probably like, Jeff, I don't never read the book of Deuteronomy. But the point of the matter is the book of Proverbs could become more alive for you. So, brief overview of the book of Proverbs. The first seven verses of Proverbs talks about the purposes of Proverbs. And basically there's three. It's to teach wisdom, which is skills at living life. It's to form character. And it's to encourage an obedient relationship with God. So Proverbs says right off, if you'd like to learn how to live life, if you'd like to have a character to be more like Jesus and God, and you'd like to have an obedient relationship with God, then the book of Proverbs is for you. Then it's interesting how they breaks it down. Then Proverbs talks about talking to a youth, and it could be any youth. And there's a bunch of things that it talks about. Obey your parents, avoid bad character, keep your heart. So the beginning part of Proverbs, after it tells you what it's about, it then says some things it would tell a child to do. Then it goes into the Proverbs of Solomon. For 14 chapters, he talks about godly and wicked differences, encouraging godly living, and then various situations. And so Solomon did the bulk of the book of Proverbs. So what's interesting then is that a bunch of Hezekiah's men, about 150 years later, went ahead and got some more Proverbs of Solomon. And this is fascinating. This section of Proverbs has a ton about relationships with others. If you're struggling with relationships with employers, with your spouse, with friends and family, the book of the book of Proverbs, from 25 to 29 has a ton in there about relationships with others. And so I thought one week we would do a thing on relationships, but people don't always go to the book of Proverbs for relationship stuff. It's really good. So, interesting quote from someone about the book of Proverbs. There is no better book in the Bible from which to glean wisdom about human relationships and friendships in particular than Proverbs. The writers of Proverbs are deeply interested in human relationships because this is where wisdom is tested and worked out. And this year, I believe in our church, we really want to grow in relationships. We want to be a friendly church. We want to be a church that reaches out to others. And it's interesting, one of the sources we're going to have is the book of Proverbs, that relationships and friendships is a really important thing. Look, let me give you an example, Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Proverbs describes a person called the fool. We're also going to look at once in a while a person called a fool. And a fool in the scriptures is a lot different than what you might think a fool is. But a fool from the Bible is someone who knows the difference between right and wrong but doesn't care. Fools live as if today has no bearing on tomorrow. And I think some of you might be surprised that some of your decisions are actually quite biblically foolish. And hopefully God will use that to kind of help you to maybe change some of your thoughts about that. So then, to finish up the book of Proverbs, there's a guy by the name of Agur and the king Lemuel. No one knows who they are, no matter how much they tell you they are. And these men basically put a few more Proverbs in, and that finishes up the book of Proverbs. What's unusual about the book of Proverbs is this Hebrew poetry. And a lot of us probably don't read a lot of poetry, but a lot of the wisdom also comes through poetry. And so how this works is the Hebrew word for proverb, this is mashal, means comparison, similar and parallel. A lot of the book of Proverbs says, this is like this. Let me give you a great example. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. The book of Proverbs is saying, look, this woman can be very beautiful, very attractive, but if she shows no discretion, she is like a gold pig in the snout, a gold ring in the snout of a pig. And so a lot of Proverbs say, this is like this, this is like that in comparison. And so it's helpful to look at Proverbs that way, knowing that it's poetry trying to show you comparisons. Here's another great one, Proverbs 26:6. Sending a message by the hands of a fool is like cutting off one's feet or drinking poison. Have you ever tried to ask someone to do something for you and it gets so crazy it's almost like cutting off one's feet or drinking poison? Have you had a teenager help you out sometimes and you're just like, what? It's just like cutting off your feet, isn't it? It's just like that. I'm having fun. I wasn't saying it in particular. It's just a proverb. But do you know what I'm saying? The point of the matter is it really wakes you up to think, wow, this is something to think about. Also, wisdom means chokmah, which is a great way of saying it, is a skill in living. So the book of Proverbs is about skill in living life. So are you interested at all this year, 2018, learning how to be more skillful in living? If you are, I commend to you the book of Proverbs. This is a great one about relationships. Proverbs 27:14. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. Why this is a great proverb, though, is a relationship. Let's be honest. Some people are morning people. You've been up for 3 or 4 hours. You've had a bunch of coffee. You're excited. Then somebody who's not a morning person gets up, and you start getting in their face and telling them how much you love them and you bless them. It can be taken as a curse, right? Why this is such a profound proverb is your heart is good, but you need to learn, and it's so practical, that, you know, it might give them a little time to wake up and to drink some coffee. But why this is a great proverb is it's all about relationship. And so we can learn a lot about relationships. So let's show another one. Proverbs 25:20. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, just like today, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. Ouch, huh? Sometimes if a friend's going through a rough time, maybe now's not a time to sing them a song. Maybe it's a time to sit and listen. I know these sound something simple, but these are actually quite profound in how we build relationships. And so as you get into the book of Proverbs, it really teaches you there's different ways to relate to different people. And I want to commend you how good it is for relationships. Parallelisms are another thing we're not used to, but most Proverbs are parallelisms. Let me give you an example. It'll take one sentence, we'll say something about something, and then the second one will either contrast it or say something different. So look at this one. Righteousness guards the person of integrity, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. Now, you might be reading this in your devotions, go by really quick, but the parallelism gives you something that you may never seen before. Wickedness in the Bible, in Proverbs, is not just like a Disney witch who wants to destroy people. Wickedness in Proverbs is also saying a person who lacks integrity. A wicked person is someone who lacks integrity. So now, as we learn about righteousness, we also learn about wickedness through parallelism. So, a couple more fun things and we'll finish up today. People often misunderstand wisdom terms and categories. And I just wanted to help you as you get into the book of Proverbs. Let me give you another example. Stay away from a fool, for you will not find knowledge on their lips. As Christians, are we told to stay away from people? No. Could we even be around a foolish person? Yes. Can we be friends with a fool? Yes. But what's the scripture saying? It's if you want to find knowledge, you will not find it in a person acting foolishly. So this is saying not to stay away from all people who might be acting foolishly. It's saying if you want to find knowledge, don't get it from a fool. So it's a creative way of saying stay away from a fool if you want to find knowledge. Does that make sense? So sometimes we have to understand what wisdom is talking about, for a lot of these proverbs become, I think, more alive and more helpful in our lives. Here's another one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If we really want to get into wisdom, it's the fear of the Lord. And a lot of us don't understand this concept. But God, we are not to be afraid of God, but we are to have a healthy awe and fear. He is God and we're not. He loves us. He is mighty and holy, yet he's kind and good. But the beginning of wisdom comes from this awe of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then the parallel is, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So another thing that's not the fear of the Lord, if you despise wisdom and if you despise instruction, then you probably are not walking in the fear of the Lord. The other one about the fear of the Lord says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. To know God and to fear him and to love him is all the beginning of wisdom. And how this works is that fear of the Lord is the cause, wisdom is the effect. If we say, God, I love you, but I also reverence you and fear you and know that you are holy and good, and as I do that, that's the cause of it, then wisdom will become the effect of my life. So if you want to walk in the wisdom of the Lord, fear of the Lord is the cause, wisdom is the effect. And look what it says in Job 28:28. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding. That to fear the Lord is actually what wisdom is all about. Another interesting one, Psalm 25:14. The friendship of, do you want to be a friend of God? Do you want God to share things with you as a friend? How do you get there? By those who fear him. Have you ever seen that connection before? Fearing him in reverent awe opens up a whole new relationship with him. I want to be God's friend. And to do that, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. Now, finishing up on a couple things on Proverbs overview before we start our sermon series next week is Proverbs do not stand alone. We can't just take these by themselves. And so let me tell you a couple things to think about when it comes to Proverbs. Number one, Proverbs need to be read with the other Proverbs. Just like when you have connect the dots or paint by numbers, Proverbs need to be compared to other Proverbs. What we're going to do over the next couple of weeks is we're going to take some of the major subject matters of Proverbs and not look at one, but look at all of them in regards to Proverbs. So for instance, there's all kinds of Proverbs about relationships and there's all kinds of Proverbs about money. If you want to learn about the wisdom of money, you want to look at all the Proverbs in their totality. Number two, Proverbs need to be read with the other wisdom books. People forget that also besides the book of Proverbs, Job and Ecclesiastes. Why is the wisdom books like a three-legged stool? Because what's the book of Job teach? You can be a righteous, good person who's done all kinds of great stuff and totally wise, but guess what? You still might suffer. And so the book of Job taught people suffer, but Job was a righteous man. There was another reason for it. The book of Ecclesiastes says, though you live a wise life, life can also be futile. And so how does the book of Ecclesiastes end? Fear God and keep his commandments. So when we're reading Proverbs, we also need to know we got to balance it out with Job and Ecclesiastes. Another thing is Proverbs needs to be read with the other books of the Bible. There's 66 books of the Bible. We need to compare them to what the other books of the Bible all talk about. And listen to this in Jeremiah 18:18. It says, they said, come, let's make plans against Jeremiah, for the teaching of the law by the priest will not cease, nor will counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophets. And so we see even here in the Old Testament that the priest and the law teaches us about the law, wise people, the sages teach us of counsel, and the word comes from the prophets. And so we need to balance counsel with the word of God, prophet, and the law. And finally, Proverbs need to be read with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. And so as we get into the book of Proverbs, we are learning actually and want to be thinking about Jesus throughout this because Proverbs is also reflecting on who Jesus is. Look at these couple scriptures. 1 Corinthians 1:30. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. And look at Matthew 13:54. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogues, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Jesus was the man of God who has also walked in wisdom. And then Matthew 12:42, Jesus says, the queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, who wrote Proverbs. And now something or someone greater than Solomon is here. Jesus is the wisdom of God. And Colossians 2:3 says, In Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So as we pursue wisdom and get into the book of Proverbs, we are learning from Jesus Christ. So Proverbs 3:5-6 says this, Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. I believe for 2018 that God wants us to continue to follow down the path that we're following him in, but it's so easy to be distracted from that. So if we trust in him, lean on him, and follow after him, he's going to do some amazing things. So another question to end today again is, in what area of life do you most need to grow in wisdom? Just take a moment and think about that. Actually, let me just pray for you for a moment on that. Lord Jesus, we stand before you right now at the end of 2017. And I pray right now for everybody here that you would right now just reveal to them an area where they need to grow this year in wisdom. Holy Spirit, would you just open up some people's hearts right now? Speak to them a word. Maybe it's a relationships. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's direction. I pray you'd speak to everyone here today that they would have some focus as they prepare for the next journey in 2018. So come, Holy Spirit. We just ask for more of you. So as we get ready to worship, I just want you to be asking, what is it this year that God can do? And I think the book of Proverbs has something to offer us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just are thankful that you got us through 2017. And I pray that, Lord, you would begin to fill us with your wisdom so that we'd be able to navigate this life. And I pray for every one of us that you would wake us up. You would show us the path that you would have us walk on and help us to use wisdom. I pray for everybody here that they would be able to have access to your wisdom in ways that they had never had before. So right now, we just want to worship you, Lord. We want to thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for 2017, what you've done. And we also look forward now to 2018, that you will do new things in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.